Welcome to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliott Price. Brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub.
There's a lead pass. In on goal, McDavid. Scores! 3-1 Canada!
Here's the 1-2 pitch from Martinez. Ball hit out into center field. Going back, Marquise Grissom. He's got it! Dennis Martinez has pitched a perfect game.
There's a shot. They score!
The 2-1 pitch. Cordero swings. Base hit. The Expos will win. The Expos will win. Cordero with a base hit to win the ballgame in the bottom of the ninth inning.
The drought is over. Drink it in, Canada. World champions.
And now, here's your host, Elliott Price.
Not a single theme today, but a few things bugging me. While listening to Mike Babcock say yesterday that nobody will sit during the anthem so he won't have to deal with it, it occurred to me that's how it would play out, of course. Hockey players are unbelievably non-political. Let's see, the last political statement made by a hockey player was... never. Just show some emotion or any look at me attitude and you're frowned upon. John Tortorella knows this. He took a never-going-to-happen moment, and he did just that. He turned it into a, hey, look at me. Nothing less than excommunication from hockey is appropriate here. The impact? Are you kidding me? Are you serious about this or not? Several acts of defensive nonchalance, and Didier Drogba, that penalty kick? Who are you? The Alouettes going to Rakeem Cato at quarterback. Who are they going to at coach next season? Talk about the best laid plans of mice and men. Or maybe none. Oh, this just in. The San Francisco 49ers have pledged $1 million to a pair of Bay Area groups to address various social inequities. That Kaepernick guy just wasting his time, huh? Toronto's in a panic. The Jays have fallen out of first. It's over. Fold the tent. And umpire Jim Joyce blew a call today, and replay couldn't fix it. He called a ball in the dirt off a bat, no contact, and a wild pitch. A pair of gift runs in the end for Cleveland. If I'm not mistaken, that's Joyce's first missed call ever. I've made no bones about the fact that I am a lover of the Tragically Hip and so proud that they are Canadian. But I got to tell you, the day that I was watching American Bandstand as a very young person and that song came on, well, we'd never seen a Canadian appear on that show previously. And the guess who? With these eyes. I'm telling you, you have no idea. You'd have to be of a certain age to understand how little regard a Canadian music had in the United States to actually see one of our people on the air on a significant American show. That was something. And they were forever the band to be measured up against in this country. Burton Cummings, Randy Bachman. That was good stuff. Good stuff. They're getting ready for football, baby. Me and my rowdy friends.
So excited.
Broncos and Panthers. And we're almost at football time. We'll talk about it. We got Daniel Kalis coming on tonight to talk more football. And we're going to get ready for the season. And tomorrow we'll have a whole thing going on. Pick the best games of the day. We'll hear from the best players in the sport. The Blue Jays, they're going down a toilet. Everybody relax, will you? Yeah. Things happen. We've talked about this before. You win some, you lose some. Sometimes you lose a bunch. Sometimes you win a bunch. I would imagine that sooner or later, this thing will stop and they'll head back in the right direction. Hopefully, the Red Sox don't get away from them before then. We've had an opportunity to talk to Ben Nicholson-Smith a bunch of times, but haven't conversed with his partner, Arden Zwelling. They do a podcast together, and they work for Sportsnet, and we'll talk to him tonight about the Toronto Blue Jays. Andrew Berkshire will be here. Did you, Grant Robinson, did you watch any of the hockey
afternoon
today?
Games? Yeah. They kept switching back and forth. It was kind of hard to get into it because of that, and the games didn't really matter.
Right. They started with Sweden and the Finns, and they switched over to the Czechs and the Russians.
And it wasn't even just at intermission. Usually it's at intermission they'll go, right? They were switching before it at some points. It was weird, but look. Very good hockey. You saw some teams. Look.
No, I saw that guy from St. Louis score the same goal that he scored on Chicago. I saw
Tarasenko,
that.
Oh, yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's nice to see the hockey people that tweet back out there.
Oh, I liked
your
it.
Your regular
I liked
face,
it.
She tweets every goal that's ever been scored, right? And she had a good hashtag on that one. She called it Tarasenko.
Ooh, I like that it. One. That I like good. It. That works.
So hockey's kind of, you know.
And it's not just a regular season game we're talking here. We're talking World Cup. This is...
But, I mean, the thing is, I mean, where are we here? It is September 8th, and we're still 9 days from this tournament, right? I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Canada doesn't play till the 17th.
Yeah, that's the opening day.
Holy moly.
So we'll see. I'm not worried about it. It's coming. We got football all weekend.
Carey Price plays tomorrow. 60 minutes.
I hope he plays well.
And now I hear that he's not playing at all in the second game.
They play the next day.
Right.
They play
Brayden
Saturday.
Holtby and Corey Crawford
are going
to split game two.
You saw that a lot today, too. Okay. That's why, look, the games today were entertaining, don't get me wrong.
It was hockey with great players.
If a replay is on, I'm not telling you need to watch it, right? Watch the highlights.
No,
wait till the tournament starts.
Are you kidding? It's a football game on. But aren't the Europeans and the North Americans, are they playing now? What's the deal? What time is...
It's at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
So they're starting
right
now.
They're getting underway. Yeah. All right. Wow, we got a lot going on. The Blue Jays are not playing tonight. So that's one less thing to make ourselves crazy about. And the football game gets underway around 8:30. All right? We all good with this? What did I leave out? Did I leave something out? We have our portion of today's panel on the impact. And Canada's national team, right? So just a debacle last night at Saputo. 4-1. Good grief, what the heck is going on with the impact? So we'll touch on that as well. And I think that's pretty much it. Right, Andrew Berkshire coming up in less than a half hour. And, of course, we have the opening faceoff coming up with Grant.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. Tackling the latest headlines and the hottest topics, it's time for the opening faceoff with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
The story keeps coming back in the news. It's a different... I try not to repeat things, right? But this is a different aspect of teams every day.
Let me know. I'll stay home.
And according to Bobby Wagner, the Seattle Seahawks are considering a big statement for week one to support what Colin Kaepernick has started. Now, just a few quotes. They're not saying they're all going to take a knee. That's what it came out as first,
right?
That the whole team will take a knee and support it. Now, here's a quote from Bobby Wagner. Anything we do, it won't be as individuals. It's going to be a team thing. That's what the world needs to see. The world needs to see people coming together versus being individuals. And then Doug Baldwin said, our team will honor the country and flag in a pregame demonstration of unity to bring people together. So it's going to be different. It's September 11th. It's not the day you want to be making a statement with the flag. I agree. That's right. But the fact that they're seem to be backing up his message. Does this change the narrative of the Colin Kaepernick situation?
Every little bit helps. Everything. You need someone to turn the conversation from Colin Kaepernick to what he's trying to say. And then everyone will see that this was a good idea, that it got things started. And then some of the people who have been very wrong on this subject, Eric McCormella, that perhaps it's heading in the right direction.
I will say this. Look, Kaepernick has taken a lot of heat, and I understand it. No matter what, you put yourself out there, it's going to happen. But I think some of it's been he's not going to make a difference. He's just a backup. Call him whatever you
doesn't
want.
Doesn't matter
call
who
him
you are, what you are. He's too
look
young to be
done.
A has-been.
No, but the people that say that,
yeah.
Look what he's done. Like, I really am impressed with the difference. Look, maybe it doesn't change anything in the grand scheme. No, but people are talking. There's open dialogue. The president's bringing it up. This was Colin Kaepernick that did this. You know what I mean? It's not like it was somebody that did this that everybody respects. It was literally a nobody in a sports world. And now I really do respect what he's done, and it's clearly catching on. And obviously he wasn't the only person who thought like this. Clearly, these aren't just people being like, oh, let's get on the bandwagon. They are clearly very passionate about this as well. You're starting to see a lot more people come out. And maybe it's not about kneeling at the end, right? Maybe Kaepernick can get up
at
one point.
It doesn't matter what it is, as long as it leads you where he wants it to go. That was the whole story. That is all there is to this story. It's not about the flag, and it's not about the anthem, and it's not about the kneel, and it's not about the sit.
It's about
what he wants, what needs to be fixed in America.
And I think we're seeing that, and it's getting more and more. Like you said, every little bit helps. And this is a big one. It's not about being separate. I think the fact that, like he said, it's bringing people together. We're all citizens of this country. You know, it's not we don't need a civil war. We need to heal and become one. It really changed my opinion on it, too.
All right. Team Europe, okay, is looking like the Hartford Whalers with a Vancouver logo. The old Vancouver hockey stick logo. Okay, that's what their uniform looks like.
North America's look pretty cool.
I think they look
cool. They look pretty cool, I gotta say.
They're wearing white with gray, white, and black arms. And their logo is orangish, kind of.
It's a cool logo.
White background. Yeah, it looks pretty good.
It's a cool logo. I'll give them
NA.
That.
That's so, not available. That's North America. All right, next.
Mark Emmert wouldn't know who he was, but he's the president of the NCAA.
Of course he is. Yeah.
Said today that the NCAA might rethink allowing college athletes to accept Olympic bonuses for performance. Is this the right move? Because before they would stop you.
Yeah. Dude, I read last week that there's a strength and conditioning coach making $590,000.
This guy's making $2 million.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah,
he's running the NCAA. Okay, I got that. He's running a multi-billion dollar business. That's fine.
Non-profit,
but there's so much money coming into the colleges that should be going to the players that there are people getting overpaid by multiples of 100 for money that should be going to these players. I've been on this for years, and there's the people who are on the other side are going to steadfastly disagree.
Hold on, these are two different things. What you're saying, the paying athletes,
yes.
I agree 100%.
Yes.
That's another issue, but I agree. Pay them minimum wage. They can't do, even if it's just minimum wage, they cannot go and work because of the schedule they have. But this is a different, when you go.
Whatever it is, I used to be able to collect
the money for the gold medals, right?
Yes.
Did you hear what stopped it, though? They let you collect the $25,000 or the $15,000. There's a swimmer from Texas. I don't know his name. Joseph Schooling, okay, won the 100-meter butterfly win over Phelps, the one where Phelps didn't win gold. For winning gold, he was competing for Singapore. He won not $25,000. Because it was their first medal, he got $740,000.
Nice.
And the NCAA was trying to tell him, no, you can't take that. So I'm going to give up my education, or I'm going to say, take away the $1 million, which I'm never going to make in my life because I'm a swimmer that nobody knows.
No, but I mean, if you're going to make $740,000, what you're going to do is you're going to leave school and you're going to pay for your own education.
But that's what
they kind
of realized.
Because you're going to have a lot more money.
Exactly.
Well, that's just stupid.
I think they realized. So now they're making exceptions they're considering changing this. I understand the argument between schools and players paying the athletes, but individuals or when it comes to, getting your sponsors, everything like that, it should be allowed, period. It's your money. It doesn't affect the school. Leave the kids alone, man. Come on. Next one. This one I've been waiting, I don't know how long to say, but probably since the day after Super Bowl. NFL opening night tonight.
Woo!
It's a Super Bowl rematch. Uh-huh. Is this your favorite opening day of any sport?
No.
Or is there another you enjoy more? I'm talking about not, I'm excited for the season, but you know that first night or day they show it? So this is Thursday Night Football. You're going to have hockey.
It's different because in the same way that football is a national obsession,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to the sport itself, whereas baseball is a regional obsession. I know it's a national obsession also, but everyone's watching this. Everyone's not going to watch the Cincinnati Reds and the Atlanta Braves on opening day. But damn it, if you're a Cincinnati Reds fan, I think that the passion is just as big or larger than it is for an individual football team. Baseball's opening day is heaven. If you are a fan of, you've waited, and I know you've waited for football, you waited for hockey.
But what do they do for baseball? What do they? Is there a big game like that? I get what you're saying. There's the start of the season, but there's opening day. So there's a bunch of games.
See, the thing is, only baseball has opening day. All the others stole it.
They have a few games.
No. There was opening day in baseball, and it used to be the Cincinnati Reds, the oldest franchise in baseball, opened up. They were the first team that played every single year. That was opening day, the traditional opener. And Washington, before they moved to Texas, they were in the nation's capital. So they were the opener in the American League, and opening day is when everything begins, my friend.
So they started. I see what you're saying. That's fair. Look, for me, NFL definitely has the best opening game. Okay, I won't say opening day because it's such a the others, it's just a bunch of games. Like hockey, it's usually Habs Leafs, which I love. It's the rivalry I grew up with. I think it's great, but it's one out of 82 games in the end. That's like 1% of the season, right? Not even. When I look at it the other way, football, man, that you lose that game, that means one of the teams that made the Super Bowl last year is starting off
0-1.
So then
you can say that about every game. It's not just opening game. But, if you lose the second game, it's the same thing.
Yeah. It's like I'm saying, they do the Super Bowl rematch. It's the top two teams. Someone gets revenge. Mm-hmm. Basketball, look, they're starting off with New York Knicks against Cleveland. San Antonio Golden State should be good. But again, it's not the same thing. I really do like that. But I get what you're saying. Baseball does make it a full day, which is kind of cool.
Doesn't matter. It's opening day. It's baseball. Fair. The grass smells good. It's spring. You've waited through the winter, and now it signals that the good weather is coming. It's a whole. It's the time of year.
It's more than just a game.
You didn't have an opportunity to live that. You know, if you grew up in a town where there was a baseball team, you would understand. And someday, if we're all very lucky, it will happen again.
Last question.
Thank God.
Both of these teams, we're talking about opening day.
Yeah.
What do you think of both of these teams' chances for repeating and making it back to the Super Bowl?
They're both
Panthers
good.
And Broncos.
Yeah, it could happen.
Well, do you expect them to? If you were going with, let's say, your top four teams to have a chance to make it, two in the AFC, two in the NFC. Because I'll be honest, I'm not sure. I look at the Panthers. Cam Newton is a stud. Don't get me wrong. Breakout year last year. They had a magical run, but everything kind of went right. They had nobody receivers step up. That doesn't usually happen twice in a row. And there's too many good teams in the NFC. Green Bay, Seattle, Arizona. I don't think Carolina makes it back. I'll say Denver. I don't like their offense necessarily with Simeon, but Peyton Manning sucked last year too.
How many teams lose in the Super Bowl and go back to the Super Bowl the next year?
The Buffalo Bills is the answer.
Well, yeah, they did it three times. But it doesn't happen very often. Yeah. Going back to the Super Bowl is a very, very difficult thing.
It's very difficult. You lose one game,
so
you're
out. So the chances that either of these teams are going back, but they're still both very good.
And they have a chance. Yeah, I will say I like the Broncos' road there more.
Well, I'll tell you what. Somebody's going to have a loss after tonight.
I think that's fair. Watch it's a tie.
You know, it's like, you know, no, it won't be a tie. There's 10 baseball games for every one football game, so it's like someone's starting off with a 16-game losing streak tonight.
Oh, my God. It's true. It is the same. And who wins tonight? Quick.
I think Carolina wins on the road.
I have Carolina, too. Right. I think they step up.
The opening faceoff with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
All right. Hey, if you don't follow us on Twitter, then we're very excited to tell you that Grant and I will be broadcasting Concordia Stinger football games this year, webcast at stingers.ca. So that means that we'll have to call 213-1313 because, you know, at the football games at Concordia, they serve, like, pizza at halftime. But, you know, the games are going to start, you know, 2 o'clock. I'm hungry, man. So have to phone 213-1313.
We'll stop
call
by
Lester's Deli, right? Get some food and make sure that we have what's necessary to take us through the football game, because only the greatest smoked meat on earth will do. At 1057 Bernard, that's what they have, because they've been working on it for 65 years, and they have perfected love in that package. 213-1313. It's the Lester's experience. It's the mustard. It's the bread. It's the pickles. It's the coleslaw. It's Lester's Deli, and you can't do better than that at 1057 Bernard. A wide-ranging selection of voices coming up next. You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson at 1280 AM CFMB Montreal.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
All right, time for voices. By the way, North America and Europe and a full house in Quebec City tonight. They start for hockey, baby. Oh, my. All right, here we go. Voices, and let's get the football players out of the way before they take the field. Excited and ready. Here's the Panther defense.
The first game, man, of the NFL, man, it's an honor, you know, to be able to show the people, you know what I'm saying, how we're going to kick this season on. So it's the first game. You know, we ready, man, we focused, and we're ready to start the season all right.
You know, you want to go 1-0, and you want to start off right and get back on track.
It's a big opportunity to get better against a quality opponent. Just another game as far as I'm concerned.
I don't think it's so much as a chip. Like you said, we feel like we're a great defense just like them. They played a little bit better ball than we did Super Bowl. This is a whole new season. Come out there 2016, show them what our defense looks like this year. It's all about, you know, showing who we are, playing Panther defense. We'll be fine.
I might be a little nervous, might be a little butterflies in my stomach, but I'm excited. You know, it's my first regular season game. I get a chance to go against some great talent, get to showcase my talent on a Thursday night on national TV, so I'm excited.
A little bit of everything from the Panther defense. How about on offense? Got to run the ball. Who do you think would say that? Maybe the running back, Jonathan Stewart.
I think that's been the mindset of this whole team, especially as an offense. You know, just coming off of last year, you know, just want to continue to, you know, get better and grow in areas we need to grow. So definitely running game is what we want to, you know, set the tone with the running game and, you know, being physical. You know, that's what we, you know, pride ourselves on.
You want to get things going? Stay away from Von Miller. It's a different Von Miller this year. Ask his coach, Wade Phillips.
My game is to line up here and come with the same effort every single play, try to tire out my guys. So, you know, I'm really not a big, you know, trash talker or, you know, try to get up under, you know, skin. I want to bring the pressure every single play. That's what I want to do.
Vaughn is better right now than he was at this time last year. I mean, he's seems to be more comfortable in everything. He's really focused. You know, I'm really pleased where he is right now.
That's just a different, you know, type of Vaughn. It's just a different focus than what I had last year. You know, my role has changed, you know, than what it was last year. And I just want to, you know, be accountable to my teammates and the coaching staff.
He was the MVP but in the Super Bowl, but, you know, I think his next step or his next goal is to be the defensive player of the year.
And why not? Vaughn Miller, Wade Phillips, the Denver Broncos, and the Carolina Panthers, moments away from kickoff, a rematch of the Super Bowl. All right, things have gotten underway as far as the World Cup of Hockey is concerned, at least with the preliminary, Sweden and Finland today. Sweden, where are your weaknesses? Carlson says we don't have any. You know, we talked about Austin Matthews, who's performing against this competition before he ever plays a National Hockey League game. Well, you can say the same thing about Finland's Patrick Laine. Three games today, just one tomorrow. Canada and the U.S., the only teams playing tomorrow. Carey Price will play the entire game. Meanwhile, the Toronto Blue Jays have today off. They are now in second place. They got swept by the New York Yankees. Game three in a nutshell. Here's Jerry Howarth.
The pitch drilled the left field deep. Back for it goes Melvin Upton. He turns, looks, and that ball disappears into the bleacher seats. And the Yanks go out in front 1-0 here in the third on a Starlin Castro home run, his 20th. Frank, one pitch belted to right. That's through the shift, a base hit. Gregorius around third to score. Saunders throws it back to the infield, a second on a hop. Scurrying to third to Shera. McCann back to first with an RBI hit. And the Yankees go out in front 2-0. Tulowitzki checks his swing and pops it up to third. Coming in foul ground, Chase Headley. He has it. The Yankees shut out the Blue Jays 2-0. Sweep the series in three games and deal the Blue Jays now their sixth loss on this road trip as they go 3-6, falling to 77 and 62, 1-5 in September.
1-5 in September. Well, they got the losses out of the way. Got a whole month ahead of them here. And the other significant piece of business last night in Major League Baseball, Steven Strasburg. And it looks like he's gone again.
Steven Strasburg's out of this game.
This is not good.
After 42 pitches. Now Dusty out to meet him.
I think he's really worried right now.
Certainly is for the Washington Nationals as Steven Strasburg goes down again. It's an elbow. And so I don't know the details on how damaging, but not good. So we'll see. He'll get checked out, and then we'll find out the fate of Washington's best pitcher. I mean, here they are with another opportunity to win. Something always happens. They are the Montreal Expos. Okay? In 1979, Ron LaFleur broke his thumb. In 1980, Gary Carter. In 1981, it was Tim Raines. Just saying, you know. Anyways, we'll see what happens with them. Our update is coming up with Grant Robinson, and then we'll check in on how much hockey did Andrew Berkshire watch today. We'll find out as we get into the World Cup of Hockey. To Sportsnet tonight with Elliot Price, CFMB 1280 AM, Montreal. It is time now for a Sportsnet Tonight Sports Update with Grant Robinson.
The World Cup of Hockey exhibition games are officially underway. Finland today beat Sweden 3-2 in overtime. Olli Maatta beat Jonas Enroth 4-17 into the first frame. Barkov and Granlund scored the others for Finland. Pekka made 18 saves. Russia beats the Czech Republic 4-3. Panarin and Kucherov each had a goal and an assist in that game. Sergei Bobrovsky made 29 saves. And North America, the under-23 team, is facing Europe right now as we speak. It was tied 0-0. But they do have a captain now, and that's Connor McDavid. He has officially been named captain of the North America team. The assistants will be Sean Couturier, Aaron Ekblad, and we'll find out if Todd McLennan will name his captain of the Oilers soon as well, because he's going to have a first-hand view of how Connor McDavid handles that.
Could have been worse, you know.
And the NFL is back. Super Bowl rematch, Broncos and Panthers. The return of Kelvin Benjamin for the Panthers. They're trying to get revenge, obviously, and it's the first start of Trevor Siemian's career. He only has one career snap thus far, and all he did was take a knee. So he's going to get thrown into the fire tonight. And finally, CFL news, Ricky Ray. The Argos got some awful news today on him. Ricky Ray looks to be out for the rest of the year with a punctured lung. Obviously a huge loss for the team. I hope he gets better. Some last football news here just coming out. Marshawn Lynch apparently considering coming out of retirement. For a man who says very little, that's some pretty big news. And that's the Sportsnet Tonight Sports Update.
What a great turnout.
Shut up, listen, and learn.
Every weeknight at 8 p.m.
I proclaim this the summer of...
Elliot. Hi, welcome back. Very exciting night as football gets underway, and we will be talking to Daniel Kalis. Coming up just after 9 o'clock today. Baseball on our minds as well. How are they doing in Toronto after the sweep by the New York Yankees? And we'll talk to Arden Zwelling from Sportsnet. How are we doing there? Yeah? Are we ready for... Andrew's been on. I don't know. I'm just on the fifth wheel here. You know, got to get to information. Anyways, he's busy. He's watching a hockey game. I got to get his... Andrew, over here!
How you doing, Elliot?
Andrew, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're all right. We're all right. There was hockey to watch today, so everyone's crazy, you know?
Yeah, it's like that withdrawal you've had for the last few months. You know, your summer's starting to cool down a little bit, but not here, of course, where it's hot and muggy.
Yeah.
And then you finally get the puck drop.
All right, so Canada and the U.S. don't play today, but if I told you you could only watch one of the three games today, which one would it have been?
Well, I haven't been able to tune into the North America versus Europe game yet. I've heard that it was good, but I really enjoyed the Sweden versus Finland game earlier today. They had some hate going, which I enjoyed that. In a pre-tournament game for an international event, that's a rarity, so I enjoyed that little rivalry.
But now, I heard that Canada and the United States in a pre-tournament game got into a fight in the 90s, and the guy that ran the punishment department in the NHL that's now in charge of the Toronto Maple Leafs, he's the guy that that got into the fight, huh? Brendan Shanahan.
Mr. Shanahan.
Yeah. Anyways.
That shouldn't be that surprising. I mean, no, he was a pretty rugged player, and he liked to mix it up.
Hey, what'd you make, before we get into that, what'd you make of George Parros being named to the department? It seems like they keep going in the same direction that these are. And look, we know George, he's a smart guy. His friend's an Ivy Leaguer, and he managed to keep his wits during a career of fighting. But why isn't there somebody like a Mats Naslin type player, some guy that got hit all, you know, that was a smaller player that would understand what it's like to be hit by those big guys? They keep going for the big guys to be in that department.
Yeah, that's a legitimate question of their priorities. I think when you have a Burke in charge of everything, you know, you're going to get things going a certain way. Although I do think George Parros is the guy who makes more, like, the most sense so far of the guys that they've hired. He's a smart guy, like you said, Princeton graduate. And as he said when they put out the press release when he was hired, he played a really long time. He got in a lot of fights. He's a very physical player. Never once got suspended. And I think he was a very clean player, too. We got to see him for 1 year in Montreal, or, you know, I guess he only played 20 or 30 games here because at that point it was the end of his career. But he's a very stand-up guy. I think everybody who's ever met him has a lot of good things to say about him, so that's good. I do think that he brings a different perspective than, say, Chris Pronger, where, you know, I think Chris Pronger is one of the greatest defensemen of all time, but do I want him in charge of safety decisions? No, because he's probably one of the dirtiest players of all time, and unrepentantly so. And, you know, that doesn't mean that I don't respect him as a player, because he was fantastic. And that dirt part of his game was part of what made him so effective. But in that job, he doesn't make any sense whatsoever, unless they're just, you know, asking Chris Pronger if that's clean or dirty. And when he says clean, they suspend a guy.
I have a question here. Look, I asked this yesterday in opening face-off to Elliot, but do you see North America's defense as that much of a weakness? I know a lot of people are saying that's going to be their weak point, but outside of Canada, Sweden, and the U.S., I mean, that defensive core is obviously better, but the rest of the teams, I think North America is right in the middle of the pack when it comes to defense.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I mean, when you can have Aaron Ekblad on the back, I think he must be 20 years old by now, but, you know, he's a young kid, and he's one of your non-experienced guys. You've got Shane Gostisbehere. Colton Parayko is a name that not a lot of people know yet, but he had a fantastic rookie year last year, like similar level to P.K. Subban back when he was a rookie. He's a really, really good player and a booming shot from the point, huge guy, really mobile. I think their defense is really good, certainly better than Russia's, better than the Czech Republic's, possibly at the same level as Finland. You know, like you said, it's probably just Canada and Sweden that's significantly ahead of them.
So you think there's people holding their breath with Carey Price as he plays an entire game tomorrow night, and he seems to be 100% sure that everything is just fine, but I believe he felt this way previously, and let's face it, you never know. So even the Montreal Canadiens brass have to be holding their breath that he's going to make it through 60 minutes tomorrow and everything's going to be all right.
I think every Canadiens fan and everyone in the Canadiens organization will be holding their breath this entire season. You know, I don't think there's ever going to be a point from here on out where everyone's going to look at Carey Price and think the needs are perfect. You know, it's been too many injuries over the course of the last several years. I believe he's finished four straight seasons either on the bench with an injury or injured in the last game. It's not a good look for him. And, you know, there have been different injuries, and so you can't say that it's necessarily one recurring one, but this knee issue has been there for a while now, at least since the Sochi Olympics. So it's very worrying. Now, it's possible that he's completely fine at this point, and, you know, the rehab went well, and taking this much time has allowed him to build up everything in and around the injury that happened. But I don't think there's ever going to be a point where people are just going to say, okay, Carey Price is going to be fine for the rest of his career. I think that it's just too risky right now after all that's happened for people to, you know, look past it.
Today, Connor McDavid named captain by Todd McLellan, of North America. Is the writing on the wall about the same decision he'll be making for the Oilers?
I would say so, because if you look at the Oilers, especially with Taylor Hall gone, there's nobody on the Oilers who would be, you know, a more significant presence in the room than Connor McDavid that isn't on the Team North America. You know, like Connor McDavid's just a little bit younger, but Aaron Ekblad, you know, he's already established himself as a leader in the NHL. He was great in the World Juniors. I think he carries himself with a great presence. He's a guy that, you know, if he were on the Oilers, maybe he would challenge Connor McDavid, but clearly McLellan believes that McDavid is the de facto captain, and obviously he will be of the Oilers as well.
It should be very interesting when you look at the attention that will be drawn now by Shea Weber. This just would have been another tournament for him. He would have been Shea Weber, and no one would have focused in on his play any more than they would have anybody else. But, man, he's got a spotlight on him now, doesn't he?
Yeah, hopefully it remains the way that the spotlight is right now, just for his sake, because it seems like there's less critical analysis of Shea Weber going on right now and more media people asking people, what's great about Shea Weber? And, you know, that's the kind of spotlight that I don't think most people mind. I think that Shea Weber is an extremely highly respected player in the NHL. And a lot of talk this summer, myself included, has been about his decline as a player as he's been in his 30s. And it seems like people are worried about that perception league-wide, and they're pushing Shea Weber as, you know, he's great, he's this fantastic human, great leader, which is probably all true. But there hasn't been much talk about his actual play on the ice. Even if you look at what Mike Babcock said, everything's about his presence as a person and as a leader. But he didn't say much about, like, what he accomplishes on the ice. It's people have talked about, you know, you don't like getting cross-checked by him, and he has a huge shot that you don't want to block. But there's a lot more to that, or a lot more to hockey than that. And we're going to have to see Shea Weber step up to a level that he didn't have to in Nashville and Montreal, because there's a much bigger void to fill in Montreal than there was in Nashville.
With Andrew Berkshire, contributor to Sportsnet and RDS.ca, he has diminishing skills in his 30. That makes him human. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's the way it will always be.
Yeah, and I think people also have a trouble with, you know, when you're saying somebody isn't as good as they used to be, that they believe that you're saying they're bad.
Right.
That's not true. You know, and I think that's a problem with the internet today, is that even if it's legitimate criticism, you're not necessarily saying a player is bad. And I think that's what happens to a lot of players once they get a little bit older. They get, you know, they're not what they used to be in their mid-20s, and people point that out, but it gets construed as hating on them, you know, and it's not necessarily true. I mean, I think everybody knows that Shea Weber is a good player, a great player, will be close to a Hall of Famer probably when he retires. I don't know if he'll make that cut, but, you know, he's going to be remembered well. But he's not what he used to be, and I think that's just the facts.
Yeah. Luckily, I'm what I used to be, so that's good. That's all that really matters, I got to tell you.
You're not declining, Elliot.
No, stop it. Thank you, Andrew. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Thanks, guys.
All right. Andrew Berkshire getting us up to date on hockey. It's been a fun week talking about hockey, but here we go. There's games. There's games going on right now. The Europeans are playing the North Americans, which would be a hell of a game if all the Europeans were playing all the North Americans, but they're not.
That would be an interesting game.
The leftover Europeans are playing the young North Americans. That's what's going on
here. How many Americans do you think make that team? If they did that. If they made it really just North America.
How many Americans would make the team?
There's not many.
No.
There would not be many American players.
There'd be one player that might make.
Whatever left-handed D they have,
I'm sorry,
would come play for us instead of Jake Muzzin.
Connor McDavid's the only player that makes the North American team that has a chance.
No, I mean, if they made it, like you just said, all of Europe in a game versus all of North America, how many, Connor McDavid's Canadian, but how many American players, like the Pavelski?
Oh, I see. Yeah. How many Americans, period, make a team Canada?
If you make it, there's not going to be many.
I don't know. Now you're stepping on some toes, eh?
There's not many. I'm just saying.
There's a question. There's a good question.
Maybe tomorrow. Maybe we'll go there.
Wow. I'll have to do some homework overnight. I got to study Concordia football players. Now you got me studying American hockey players. I don't know. It's too busy. We'll delve a little further into Denver's quarterback. We'll hear from his college football coach, and he'll tell us all about the guy leading the Broncos. That's coming up as we continue with Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price on CFMB 1280 AM in Montreal.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Welcome back to the show. Denver and Carolina underway. No score. What did you know about Denver's quarterback?
I knew they liked him. I knew they liked him as of last year, but he didn't get talked about because of Osweiler. So when they decided not to re-sign Osweiler, they said they really liked him. They were, I didn't believe it, but they kept saying all the right things about the kid, and clearly it was true.
The last Northwestern quarterback to start the first game of the year after not playing in a single game previously was Otto Graham in 1955. Wow. So here he is, and he was a darn good college quarterback. Just ask his coach, Pat Fitzpatrick.
Everybody here in Evanston is excited for Trevor. He's earned it. What can I tell you? Well, what you see is what you get. He's a very laid-back guy off the field, but has a terrific football IQ. He understands exactly what Denver's trying to do offensively, and he's got a great opportunity in front of him tonight.
You wonder about, someone stepping into to this kind of situation. I mean, you got to have steely nerves. You know, you're stepping into the National Football League. You're all of a sudden quarterbacking the team that Peyton Manning quarterbacked to a Super Bowl championship to finish off last season. More Pat's Fitzpatrick.
First of all, I'd talk about just his demeanor. You know, he doesn't ride the roller coaster of emotions. He doesn't get too high when things go well. He doesn't get too low when he faces adversity. He's a terrific teammate. He's a guy that would always give of himself for the greater good of the group and of the team. And then he can make all the throws. You know, you've probably seen it throughout the preseason. You know, Coach Kubiak and the offense have asked him to make all the throws that their offense is going to need to be successful. So, you know, he's a complete package. You know, he split time while he was here because we wanted to run the ball have a little bit more of a zone read concept. But from a standpoint of, you know, all the NFL throws, Trevor can make all of them.
Right, by the way, Pat Fitzgerald, not Pat Fitzpatrick.
So that sounded like a lot of Pats in there.
Coach of Northwestern. So, you know, it's one thing to be named as the starting quarterback of the defending Super Bowl champions. But, man, you're starting tonight. No one else is playing. The entire league is watching you. The entire everybody is watching you. 35 million people are watching you. Are you ready for this?
Absolutely, because if you're a football player, you're a competitor, the minute the ball goes up in the air, it has nothing to do with everything you just said. It has everything to do with the way that you prepare. And I'm sure if it's been like he was when he was here with us, I mean, he was relentless in his preparation, and he went out and he executed fairly well for most of his career. And he's got a pretty darn good group around him, and all he's got to do is make sure that he operates within the framework of that offense. And that defense on the other side is pretty salty. So it's going to be a fun time watching them. I know our entire program, everybody that played with them, everybody that knows Trevor, none of us are surprised.
Our thanks to NFL.com. Pat Fitzgerald. That is Trevor Siemian's coach from Northwestern, who's still there, I believe, 13th year now at Northwestern. First set of downs, and a first down on the run. I don't know if they ran the ball once. They want to get this Stewart, guy into...
Stewart got set. Oh, you're talking
Denver.
About Denver.
Yeah.
Denver ran. He did get a pass to Virgil Green for a first down. C.J. Anderson.
That was good. He was on the run. They flushed him. He rolled left, found the receiver near the left sideline, got himself first down. And
I guess
you want to get
five.
Him in the game.
They ran twice. One fumble.
Carolina's taking the ball down the field, and they are on the verge of scoring something. So both of us picked Carolina to win in Denver tonight.
And that's not an insult to Denver. I think Denver's a very good team. You always got to have that revenge. You know what I mean? You know Carolina has been thinking about this for longer than Denver has. I'll tell you that right now. Denver's happy they got their win. Carolina wants to make a statement.
So, game one. And then I'm looking at the 1 o'clock games for Sunday, and there are a pile of them. On Sunday afternoon, you've got the Green Bay Packers and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Man, at Jacksonville, what a tough start for the Jaguars trying to get off on the right foot. Same thing with Panthers and Broncos tonight. Someone's going to take a loss. The Bills and the Ravens at Baltimore. The Bears play at Houston. 1 o'clock game. The Browns and the Eagles. What a great chance for the Eagles to get off on the right foot. The Buccaneers and the Falcons, which is good news for them because somebody's going to win that game. So one of those two teams will have a victory. The Vikings and the Titans, and I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how the Vikings are going to run this thing with Bradford at quarterback. Bengals at Jets, Raiders at Saints, Chargers at Kansas City. Those are the 1 o'clock games as Carolina takes it into the end zone, and they have the early score and the early jump on the Broncos in Denver.
Calvin Benjamin, first game back, 2 catches on the first drive, touchdown, solid start.
Right. So there you go, keeping you up to date on what's going on in the National Football League. Very exciting day. And you okay, David? Are you with us? Okay, because I'm a little worried about you. We've got Daniel Kalis coming up. And we'll talk about Sunday's National Football League schedule, go a little in-depth, although tomorrow we'll really take it to task and go on tonight's Carolina and Denver with Carolina taking it in. So Daniel Kalis coming up next. We'll also talk to Arden Zwelling from Sportsnet about the Toronto Blue Jays, and that'll come up just after 9:30.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub.
It's time for a Sportsnet Tonight sports update. Grant Robinson.
The NFL is back. Super Bowl rematch, Broncos-Panthers, and there's a ton of storylines already. First of all, Brandon Marshall, linebacker of the Broncos, took a knee on the sideline for the anthem, so the players just continue to add up supporting Kaepernick. We mentioned first start of Trevor Siemian's career. Only one career snap, he took a knee. He's the only quarterback to ever start an opening game for the previous year's Super Bowl team without ever attempting a pass. Probably not something you usually want to happen, but he looked all right on the first drive. They were driving the ball. Luke Kuechly forces a fumble off of a rookie running back. Carolina then marches down the field. Cam Newton, touchdown pass to Kelvin Benjamin, who's his first game back in over a year. So obviously a good start for Carolina. They lead 7-0. In hockey right now, today, lots of action. Finland beats Sweden 3-2 in overtime. Olli Maatta beats Jonas Enroth for the game winner there. Russia beats Czech Republic 4-3, getting goals from Panarin, Kucherov, and Tarasenko. And North America currently facing Europe, tied 0-0. But Connor McDavid has officially been named the captain of the North America team. The assistants go to Sean Couturier, Aaron Ekblad. And we'll find out soon if Todd McClellan will name Connor McDavid the captain of the Oilers as well, as he'll get to see how he handles the sea firsthand. Also, in tennis news, Serena Williams just now lost in the semifinals. Whoa. From what I read, she's been number one for, what, over 3 years? This will take her away from the number one seed now. So, been a while since we've seen that.
She's not going to be number one in the world.
That's what it said.
Who the hell adds that up?
Well, it's how it works. Right, in golf, it seems to change a lot. Not in women's tennis. She seems to always have that title.
Yeah, she should.
That's there. And some bad news quick. CFL, Argos lose Ricky Ray. Punctured lung. Probably out for the rest of the season. And in baseball, Steven Strasburg left last night's start after just over 40 pitches. Felt a pop in his elbow. They're calling it a strained flexor mass. No timetable for his return. And that's a Sportsnet Tonight sports update.
Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye olde orchard pub. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye olde orchard pub. If you haven't been there, you probably should. Yeah, the beer.
friends in the neighborhood. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub. Ye old Orchard Pub.
Now open on Salaberry and Chateauguay.
Gotta go.
You want your money to grow. You want it to be there when the time comes. Let me tell you about Paramount Financial Services and Lauren Rubin at 514-905-0885. He's taken care of my money for years, and I can worry about other things. Does your financial advisor move your money around constantly to make sure he's making money, whether you do or not? Let's not forget, it's your money. And Paramount Financial Services will take care of what's most important, and that's you. Call them at 514-905-0885. It's your money. Grow it for a better future. Paramount Financial Services.
Are you feeling stressed and lacking energy? Do you hate the gym? Perhaps yoga is not your thing. Learn authentic Tai Chi and Qigong from the very family that created it. Regular practice of Tai Chi reduces high blood pressure, strengthens joints and muscles, improves digestion, blood circulation, and balance, prevents arthritis, boosts the immune system, and greatly reduces stress. The Chen Bing Tai Chi Academy is located in the West Island of Montreal. Try a free class. For more information, please visit us at www.cbtac.ca.
Treader Mezza, for parties, office meetings, family get-togethers, weddings, you name it, eat in style and within your budget. Treader Mezza, one look at the menu will get you. TreaderMezza.com, 514-643-4000. Lunch at the office for $14. Ciabatta or wrap, choice of two salads, drink and dessert, $14. TreaderMezza.com, 514-643-4000. For more important get-togethers, chicken parmigiana, ossobuco, roast pork or veal and pastas, TreaderMezza.com, 514-643-4000.
Ding, ding, ding.
Elliot.
Ding, ding, ding.
Price.
Ba-ba-bo.
You stink.
Tu sais, c'est comme si tu t'en vas en vacances avec ta famille, puis il fait chaud, il n'y a pas d'air climatique, puis on va chiquer un petit peu plus. Tu connais pas ce que tu connais pas, hein?
Oui, papa!
Elliot.
All I have in this world is my balls and my word, and I don't break them for no one. Understand?
You're tuned in to Sportsnet Tonight with your host, Elliot Price.
No, I'm not speaking on that, Elliot.
Right here on 1280 AM, Montreal.
A man-child crying out for love, an innocent orphan in the postmodern world.
Stop your whining or I'll come up there and slap you.
Oh my goodness, there's football going on, my friends. Carolina with a 7-0 lead on Denver, and all the people who are in football fantasy pools all over the land are wishing they had Denver Broncos and Carolina Panthers, at least for one night. So at least they got someone adding up some points, because the more Panthers and Broncos you have, you'll be in first place at least for one day. Daniel Kalis, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Sitting here watching the game, enjoying the fact that we're back in the football season.
Yeah, got any? I know. Now, you said you only enter one fantasy pool.
Yeah, that's correct, and I do have I have Emmanuel Sanders tonight, and I got Greg Olsen tonight, so I'm hoping that there's a lot of scoring tonight and a lot of passing.
All right, Carolina off to a 7-0 start. We didn't get an opportunity to get your prediction on the game. Both Grant and I picked Carolina to win in Denver tonight. How do you see this one going in?
If it was in terms of betting, I actually like Denver at home getting the points, but I got to go with Carolina to win the game in a close one. Denver's been moving the ball really well so far in the first quarter, except for that fumble.
What'd you think of their quarterback so far?
I think they've been using, you know, quick outs on him and then short passes, trying to, you know, get him in a good rhythm so he can gain some confidence fast. You know, the fumble was on a running play, so it had nothing to do with him. He looked okay. The more that they can complete passes, if he can get a score, his confidence will raise, and it's a lot about the confidence and making sure that O-line keeps him upright.
This is a difficult start to a season that Super Bowl teams have to do, to go up against what was the second best, if you're the first best, in the first game of the year, and knowing full well that one of the two best teams from a year ago, someone's suffering a loss. That hurts.
Oh, most definitely. And it's a team that has a really good defense. And they've also, while it's not really like we discussed, I wouldn't say it's a rematch of the Super Bowl, because even if you win, it's just one win. But, you know, you've got to think Carolina wants to, you know, prove it to them and feel the fact that they're going against a quarterback who hasn't played at all, that they're really going to want to welcome them to the NFL.
All right. We obviously have a full slate of games to talk about tomorrow, and we'll do that. But there's been some maneuvering over the last week. We really haven't gotten into some of the changes that have happened and what we think about how that's all going to work out. Obviously, Minnesota now with Sam Bradford. And we think what of Bradford working in that offense with a running back that he's never had an opportunity to work with before. And by the way, Denver just turned the ball over, but we'll get to that. So what do you think of Bradford now with Minnesota? And it's a whole different situation for him over there.
Completely, but I actually think it was they gave up a first and a fourth, so they definitely gave up some quality picks, but he's going to a team that's being coached offensively by North Turner, who's might not be a bad head coach, but he's an amazing offensive coordinator. He's going to a team that has Adrian Peterson. He's never been on a team that's been able to rush the ball the way they're going to be able to do with Peterson. He's got some weapons in the passing game. He's got a solid O-line, and they've got a good defense, so it's not like they're going to be, playing from behind all the time. I think he's got to come in and just, be not make mistakes and just be a game manager. And I think he can be. I'll be honest, I've always been a bit of a fan of Sam Bradford. He's never done anything to back it up or make me right in that situation. But he's also, the guy's had, six or seven different head coaches, six or seven offensive coordinators. I mean, it changes every year. You add to his injuries, he's going to have another change now. But if he can get the offense and he can learn it, I think that they made a great move because they're going to be right there competitive.
Look, Luke Kuechly, just quickly about the game tonight. Look, already it's two drives. He's got two tackles for a loss, a forced fumble in those two drives. Look, I've always liked this guy. The talent's clearly there. But how good is he really? And is he the best linebacker in the league right now?
I think so, because I think he does it on all three downs, all three facets of the game. He can cover. He rushes the quarterback. He can tackle the running back. He's, side to side. This guy is a beast. Their linebackers are so fast with Chad Thomas and Thomas Davis. These guys can cover the whole field. They can cover, some receivers out of the slot, tight ends, running backs coming out of the backfield. They don't have to be rotated out no matter what the offense is going to do. And especially nowadays when, teams are running four and five receivers out there, they're changing things on the fly. They're trying to run fast offenses. You have linebackers like that that can play against any type of an offense. It just makes it much easier for you as a defense to play against them, and it makes it much harder for an offense to move the ball against them.
All right, word about maybe a not 100% Andrew Luck, limited during the preseason and certainly over the last couple of games. Should this be a concern for Indianapolis Colts fans?
I definitely think it's something that they should be concerned about. I don't want to be overly concerned as yet. There's always preseason. People are very careful. Teams are not going to necessarily be upfront about what the injuries really are. But it seems that Luck's going to be all good. I think the worry is they're already missing one of their O-linemen, and we know how bad their O-line was last year. But I think he'll be fine going to the season, but that O-line's got to keep him upright because he's taken it over his first 4 years. He's taken a ridiculous amount of hit, and he's their franchise, and they got to keep him upright. So I think he's fine for now, but we'll see how long that line keeps him standing up.
Well, look, talking about injuries, the New England Patriots we know will be out without Brady for 4 weeks due to the suspension, but Gronkowski today, the other key to that team, came out. Obviously, his hamstring, they said he's limited. The words that kind of scare me when I hear it is he doesn't say I'm day-to-day or I don't know about Sunday, called himself week-to-week. What do you make of that, and how important is he to that offense?
That's add to the fact that he's very important to my fantasy team, so I'm very nervous about that as well. A hamstring is not a good thing. It's been a couple of weeks now in training camp and preseason that he hasn't really done very much. Most people thought, okay, big deal, Patriots not letting him do too much. But now that he's possibly going to miss the first week of the season, again, it could be precautionary. But a hamstring is the type of injury that unless you really rest it on and get fully healthy, it can linger, and it's very easy to re-injure that. So, they're going to have to be really careful with him. But again, if you're missing Brady and you're starting to miss weapons, this is just going to make the pickup of Martellus Bennett, which I think everyone loves because they gave up a lower pick to get him, is going to make a huge difference for them because he's no Gronk, but I think he's a really good tight end. That again, maybe they're going to, similar to the Jamal Charles situation, maybe they're going to err on the side of caution and hope, make sure that he's healthier for the end of the season than now. But I think it's something definitely we got to watch out for this one because these injuries can linger. Type of hamstring, the groin injury, those ones linger for a whole season or just get worse.
All right, to Kansas City, as we talked about last week, I think, will be without their top running back on Sunday. So it'll be Spencer Ware, Charcandrick West, and perhaps even Nile Davis. What do we know about these guys? And let's face it, Kansas City relies on that running game. How does that affect them in their game against San Diego?
I'll be honest. Well, I don't think much of San Diego, as we know by where we rank them. But Kansas City won all those games last year after Jamaal Charles went down. Now, again, I'm not saying it is it's a knock on Jamaal Charles. We know how good he is. But Spencer Ware was really, really effective when he got, you know, the right amount of touches. When he was the full go guy, he was averaging, you know, over 5 yards per carry. He was scoring touchdowns in those games. I think the bigger worry for them would be the fact that Justin Houston isn't going to be ready to start the season. And we know how good he is. And I think that's the bigger worry, because the combination of all those running backs you need, based on last year, we're going to assume that they can perform at least adequately enough they can win the games. It's the loss of a guy like Justin Houston that I'm not sure where they were placed. Plus, Tamba Hali didn't practice much in the preseason because he was coming off of an injury. So I think it's actually the defense right now that I would be a little bit more worried about in terms of the season, as long as, you know, Spencer Ware and those guys can do what they did last year.
Quick question. I know you're on the air with us now, but were you watching the game before we called you?
Yes, I was.
Okay, perfect. Just making sure. Kelvin Benjamin.
Why would you ask that question?
You never
question?
Know. Sometimes you're looking at the stats, we're an important thing, you know. Maybe he was getting ready for the show. He has it on PVR. You got to make sure of these
Not
things,
happening.
Elliot.
Not happening. It's opening night. So, he's eating it like big globs of ice cream.
I was just making sure. But, okay, Kelvin Benjamin on that first drive, I know I had a couple questions.
In fact, he may have
questions.
Too much football by the end of the night. He's just like, you know, he's got the big scoop there.
But you saw him on the first drive. He's getting the ball. I was worried that maybe Cam Newton got comfortable with the guys from last year. He went right back to Kelvin Benjamin, and he just is—he's huge. Can you see him keeping this up all year and really becoming a top receiver?
He was a beast of that 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I thought just like you. I thought that maybe everyone's talking about Funches and how good Funches and Cam Newton looked, and I was sort of buying into that because, you know, Cam was even talking about it, and I thought, you know, they're going to restrict Benjamin's plays. He's not going to be, you know, based on what we saw, I don't know about that. We'll see how the rest of the game plays out in terms of, do they restrict him? Does he play every series? Are they holding him out a bit? But I mean, regardless of, even let's say maybe he doesn't have as many catches, but he is such a target in the red zone and has proven that he can catch those balls. He can catch the ball over most DBs. There's not many DBs that are going to be the size that he has and the strength that he has. So they might bring him along a little slow at first, but it looks like he's almost, you know, right there ready to go full bore. You know, we'll see how he ends up in the fourth quarter, but I'm liking what I'm seeing from him now.
Give me a couple of candidates for Rookie of the Year that perhaps weren't selected in the first couple of picks.
One offensive rookie of the year that a lot of people are talking about, he not because he's on my team, but he seems to be the sexy pick by everyone, is Sterling Shepard. Everyone thinks that he could have a really big year. Another guy who can have a good year is Corey Coleman. You know, if RG3 can go back to what he was when he was a rookie, Corey Coleman's got a lot of talent, and with Josh Gordon not there the first 4 weeks, he can really, you know, cement his spot in that offense. And on defense, that's an issue. You would have thought Joey Bosa was the guy who had the most amount of opportunities, but right now he's not even playing week one. He got injured with a hamstring injury. On defense, I'm going to go with actually Hargraves, the DB on Tampa. There's been rave reviews about him. Looks like he's going to start from week one, and they need a DB to be a shutdown. So I liked him before this, but, you know, going into the draft, you know, he played in Florida, so he's staying in the home state. I think Hargraves is going to have a big year in Tampa.
Daniel Kalis, great talking with you. There's a whole lot of football to talk about tomorrow night and on Monday. Looking forward to it. Get some rest.
Thank you very much. Enjoy the game, everyone. Speak to you tomorrow.
All right, we're doing that. Broncos on the move. Carolina with a 7-point lead. Just into the second quarter in Denver. Still to come in this hour, we'll talk with Arden Zwelling, Sportsnet, about the Toronto Blue Jays. But coming up, the Sportsnet Central panel. If you missed it at 6:30 today, you can watch it again tomorrow at 11 o'clock and twice on Saturday. It used to be twice on Sunday, but now it's twice on Saturday. No, things used to be twice on Sunday. Not this panel. Oh, don't get me started. Elias Makos. And we'll talk about the impact, and we'll kick it around because they kicked it around last night. You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson. CFMB, 1280 AM, Montreal.
To be troubled with.
Could I be a little more Weasley?
Yes!
We're on a mission from God.
Roar.
It never ends!
Missed it by that much.
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've caught me doing.
All right, so the Broncos even it up. What was that, 30 what?
It looked like a 30-yard touchdown. I'll tell you the exact yards. It was 28 yards by Andy Janovich.
Who has Andy Janovich?
Well, I start him as my fullback in the pool. Nobody has fullbacks in the pool.
You're lying. Nobody has fullbacks. Anyways, he runs it in for the score. That was after the last possession when Denver was on the move, and a tip ball at the line of scrimmage ended up as an interception, and Denver got nothing out of it. Well, he brought them right back down the field, and they scored. Now it's 7-7, so...
That was an early mistake, by the way. Third and 19, you have a nothing play. That's the kind of plays I told you Peyton Manning made some bad decisions, but he wouldn't have made that one. Third and 19, he would have ran the ball. You kick the field goal. But you'll learn, right? These are growing pains.
All right. If you missed it on City Today, Sportsnet Central Montreal panel... with the host, Elias Makos. So we were from left to right, myself, Jeremy Filosa, Elias Makos, Andy Bennett, and Derek Fage. And, of course, Jeremy, the voice of the Impact on the radio. And you can listen to him when he does his play-by-play. But it was not very good. Well, his play-by-play was very good last night, you see, on 98.5. But the Impact did not play as well as Jeremy did the play-by-play. And we talked about it today on the Sportsnet panel. And here's what it sounded like.
Major League Soccer and our Montreal Impact. Listen, are they in trouble? And, you know, last week we talked about how, hey, they're better than middle-of-the-pack team. And if you look at this week's game against Orlando City SC, not so. I mean, this was an embarrassing
Jeremy, maybe,
loss.
Maybe Drogba said after last night's game they're better with 10 players. Maybe they should do that.
Well, they're getting used to it. They're getting a lot of practice at it. It seems like there's a red card at every single game. No, it's very unfortunate. I mean, you got, in a matter of 3 weeks, Orlando and Chicago, two teams who struggled to play on the road. And Orlando was without their best two scorers yesterday.
Yeah.
And they come in here and win 4-1. Yeah. I mean, it's embarrassing.
The defensive miscues continued.
The defensive lapses last night were...
Laurent Sima.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy in the spring went from being the best defenseman in the league, goes to Euro 2016, barely plays, comes back, has a little bit of an injury, and now he's unrecognizable. Yeah. Well, and it's hurting this team.
It makes absolutely no sense to me. If you coach a sport, and basketball is a perfect example, you coach kids in a sport, and you tell them, look, some of you have offensive talent. Not all of you are going to be able to score, but all of you can play defense, and all it takes is hard work. Everybody can play defense. Why can't they do that, Jeremy? Why?
Listen, I mean, there's one thing. Their defensive line has not been together all year. Oyongo will be back on Saturday. Let's see what happens then. But, I mean, there's a bunch of things that are not going right. And the thing that irritates me the most is the second there's a play on the field that generates emotion, positive or negative, they score a goal, they get a red card, there's a bad offside call, whatever it is, bad call from the official, the next minute, the ball's in their net.
Yeah.
They can't get together and say, okay, forget about the goal. Yesterday, it's 1-0. You scored it. You've played 1 minute. They're celebrating like they've won the World Cup. Next minute, the ball's in their net. Guys, come on. Seriously.
Post-game, though, I was disappointed to hear the topic of the refs. And yes, you know, listen, they had a red card call go against them.
Yes.
They had one that the Orlando wasn't called on a red card.
Right.
These things happen.
Yeah.
But Patrice Bernier in the post-game, mentioning that, talking about the refs, I think they've got to go beyond
that. You know
that,
what?
Right?
Yeah. But it doesn't matter anymore because this has been going on for so long. Yeah. This is not going away with this team this season.
Exactly.
Not going away.
Jeremy, you watch a lot of soccer. You have to say that Drogba's penalty kick...
Yes. Oh,
it looked like my 5-year-old trying to score on dad.
What irritates me is, why are you jumping on that ball? The second the penalty was called, he's grabbing the ball, and I'm shooting the penalty. I mean, Mancuso's hot. He's got 2 goals and 3 assists in the last 6 games. Yeah. He drew the foul. Why don't you let him take a shot? Yeah. Why don't you let Piatti take it? Yeah. He's trying to catch up to the best goal scorers in the league. If you're going to jump on the ball like that, you better put it in the net.
I got to move on because we got to talk about also in attendance this week at Stade Saputo was Don Garber, commish of Major League Soccer. Discussed a lot of things about the All-Star game. You know, there were some hopes that maybe 2017, 375th anniversary, could get the All-Star game. Not going to happen, but he says that the Impact will host a team, host the All-Star game when the franchise is ready. So my question is, when will the franchise be ready? Aren't they ready?
I think they're ready.
Yeah.
But say it's in the hands of the Montreal Impact and when they're ready and when Joey decides. And I did find that curious. Also for him to say, like, oh, I just found out this morning that this was going to be a topic of discussion. I mean, that was, you had to have been expecting that that was what you were going to be asked about. So I'm so confused by this, especially because next year would be the perfect opportunity to do it with the anniversary.
Now, obviously, they have other plans, unfortunately. But what if I have a chance to talk about the Canadian national team that has been eliminated this week
we're
again.
We're going to do that after a break.
Okay. Right? Because I wanted to link in Garber. And
well, it's okay. Mention it.
Well, the thing is, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me that Canadian players are considered foreign players in their own league. This doesn't make any sense. If the Red Bull wants to add a Canadian player to their team, they got to make a foreign roster spot available. And Don Garber yesterday just said, well, there are enough foreign spots on every team. If they were good enough, they'd be on a team.
Ouch.
Wait, hold on. Ouch, yeah. We got American players on our team, and if we have to give them a foreign roster spot, they wouldn't be there.
Well, Canada's men's soccer team proving Don Garber's point about the quality of the players because, listen, it's going to be wait till 2022 for the Canadian men's soccer team out of the World Cup again. Not an impressive performance over the last week. And, I mean, wait till 2022. That's a stretch.
Well, listen, I mean, that World Cup's in the winter, so maybe that'll favorize us. I don't know. But
are we playing in winter conditions?
Yes, in Qatar. No, I'm not. But listen, the fact that not all Canadian players are playing in the MLS are not playing in the MLS is a big problem because you got players coming from Europe, everywhere across the world to play friendlies. Half of the guys don't show up, so it's hard to build chemistry as to where the Americans, everybody's in North America, so they get to play their friendlies, they get to build chemistry, so it's a big problem. But the fact that Jonathan Osorio and Will Johnson are key parts of one of the best MLS teams in the league, Toronto FC, and they can't make the Canadian roster, this is a joke.
The soccer team's going the way the football team's going. What the heck happened here this summer? Carey Price better stay healthy tomorrow night. That's all I'm saying. I mean, things are going.
Imagine if he got hurt in this tournament or gets hurt. No, I'm just saying.
About? This is your fault. They'll be sitting outside your door. Don't. Oh, he's making faces.
Listen. Maybe if he gets hurt this year, the Habs will be smart and go out and actually get a backup goalie. Maybe that's what they'll do instead of just playing guys who've never played before and thinking, oh, we're good. We'll be fine.
The Canadians ended up with a great draft choice. If you're going to, I would have made it even worse.
What, like the Leafs?
Yeah. No, you're laughing. It's the only way.
I've always said that. Chicago.
Exactly.
Kane and Taves. Pittsburgh.
Always.
All the top teams have been bad for a long, in the new NHL, right? In the old NHL, it wasn't like that. Ever since the lockout, where they put in the salary cap.
If you're really bad 2 years in a row in good draft years, you're in business.
Exactly.
And the Canadians, they can't do that. In this market, you cannot be that bad unless it just falls on you. You can't do it on purpose, right?
No,
you can't
fair.
Be bad and then make it worse. You have to be bad and then you have to try to make it better, because this is Montreal, and it'll get ugly here. In Toronto, they accept it.
Well, they accepted it because
They've accepted it for 20 years.
No.
Oh, please,
they accepted
Red,
ninth place.
Go
look how many times
about?
They finished in the bottom five.
Never mind the bottom five. They've been a bad team, non-playoff team for so long.
But what the problem is with markets like Toronto and Montreal is you go for that ninth. You keep pushing, right?
Yeah.
At one point, you got to decide rebuild. And it works. It does.
Well, one Toronto team that doesn't have to rebuild, they'd have to start winning again. That would be the Blue Jays. We'll talk to Arden Zwelling from Sportsnet about the recent crash and about getting back up and baseball and all that stuff coming up after Grant's update. You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price on CFMB 1280 AM in Montreal. Time now for a Sportsnet Tonight sports update. Grant Robinson.
The NFL is back in the Super Bowl rematch. Broncos-Panthers hasn't disappointed so far. Lots of storylines. Starting off, national anthem. Brandon Marshall, linebacker of the Broncos, took a knee on the sideline for the anthem, obviously joining Kaepernick's cause. The Broncos have released a statement saying they encourage their players to stand up during it, but have no problem. They know it's the player's right to not, so he won't be getting in trouble for that. But during the game, lots to tell you about. Trevor Siemian making his first ever start, first ever pass tonight. Not too bad so far. 8 of 11, 92 yards. So he's been accurate. Made one mistake through the interception, which was costly. And for the Panthers, Kelvin Benjamin, the story of the game thus far. 3 catches, 46 yards after missing all last year. He scored the first touchdown of the NFL season. Made it 7-0 for the Panthers. And then Andy Janovich, fullback of the Denver Broncos, scores on a 28-yard touchdown run, a dive right up the middle that's supposed to gain you 2 or 3 yards. For those of you that might have bet, let's say, or picked first Bronco to score a touchdown on Mizoger or whatever it is, this one would have fell under the field. He would not have been an option. And in other sports, I already told you, Russia beat Czech Republic 4-3 earlier today. Finland beat Sweden in overtime 3-2. Olli Maatta scores the game winner there. And North America, with their new captain, Connor McDavid, facing Europe tonight, look real good thus far. Apparently, they're skating like crazy. The fastest team people have seen, up 3-0. McKinnon, Nugent Hopkins, and Johnny Gaudreau are the 3 goal scorers.
That'd be tough. All right, your update is brought to you by Lester's Deli. Man, what a night. I mean, what a weekend's coming up. I suggest tomorrow, call 213-1313. Make sure that Lester's Deli has you ready for the weekend with the smoked meat, with the brisket, with the coleslaw and the pickles and the bread and the mustard. So everything's there and in order. How about this, for a Friday night, right? I mean, you got to have the food ready. You got the Blue Jays and the Red Sox. It's a 3-game weekend series and a battle for first place in the American League East. All right? That's good. The United States is playing Canada. Carey Price, your first opportunity to see Carey Price play a game since last November. And then later tomorrow night, the Montreal Alouettes against the BC Lions in a place they never win, in a year where they don't win. So it should be very interesting. And this goes on all weekend with the World Cup and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. And, well, you just got to have the food ready. 213-1313, a package of the whole Lester's Deli experience. 65 years of love, some mustard, some bread. Wow. 213-1313. It doesn't matter how many people you have coming over for this weekend sports extravaganza. Give them a call. It'll be just like it came out of the kitchen at 1057 Bernard, but out of your kitchen. Lester's Deli. They'll deliver. 213-1313. All right. Our interview with Arden Zwelling coming right up. We'll get the Blue Jays down and see what it'll take to get them back up again. That's next on Sportsnet Tonight.
Elliot Price. Welcome to Sportsnet tonight.
Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in.
Get a shit, tell everything.
Smoke meat and fries.
That's good stuff.
Elliot Price on weeknights.
Hi, Ben.
What do you do for an encore? Fall asleep?
Hell yeah.
We welcome Arden Zwelling to the show. We had his partner from At the Letters, Ben Nicholson-Smith, a couple of times. Finally, we get Arden, and we talk Blue Jays. How are you?
Good. How's it going, Elliot?
Going all right. You've been a busy guy already. The At the Letters podcast is out, and today you had on Fangraphs' En Osiris. What might we hear? Should we go there?
We basically went through the starting rotation and talked about, I don't know, just some of their repertoires and got a little... maybe a little too in-depth on some of that stuff, but if you're into, you know, kind of differences in pitches and grips and how guys attack hitters, it's definitely interesting for that sake. And we kind of try to handicap this AL East race, which features four teams all within 4.5 games of each other atop the division.
All right. Every team goes through their ups and downs. That's the nature of a 162-game schedule. But right now it's the Blue Jays that are going through the downtime. Is there a minor freakout going on in Toronto?
I mean, there's always a freak out going out in Toronto. That's Toronto fans. They weren't blessed with patience or perspective or any of the things that you really need to stay sane during a baseball season. But, you know, I think that Russell Martin did a really good job of kind of summing it up after Blue Jays game last night. You know, he said it's that time of year where every loss seems a lot worse than it really is and every win seems a lot better than it really is. You know, the Blue Jays have 23 games left. And they're one game out of first place. So, I mean, just a ton of things can happen over those 23 games. I mean, we really have no idea how it's going to end up. You know, Blue Jays are about to begin their first of two three-game series they still have left against the first-place team, the Boston Red Sox. They've also got another three-game set against the Baltimore Orioles and another four games against the New York Yankees. So many things can happen between now and the end of the season. So it's really not worth getting too worried right now.
Here's the amazing thing about professional sports that I don't think a lot of fans realize. When it comes to the dressing room, the clubhouse, whatever it is, it doesn't matter if you've been winning or losing. It doesn't matter who you're playing. The guys in there believe they are going to win today. So all the people that think, oh, well, now they've gotten into a losing mentality, it really doesn't work that way.
Especially on baseball, where you play a new game every day, and baseball players are kind of the best in sports at washing a loss or even washing a win and showing up to the ballpark the next day and just beginning their routine as they do every day. You know, baseball players absolutely love routine, and that's why, because you do it 162 times, which is absolutely an insane grind. And, you know, I think that something that maybe a lot of fans don't realize is that, you know, baseball players don't watch the standings as closely as fans do. You know, fans are watching it second by second, minute by minute. I bet you there's some players in that Blue Jays clubhouse who don't really know where they're at in the AL East. They just know that it's close. You know, they're going out and trying to win every single night, and they're not watching the out-of-town scoreboard like maybe some fans are. So that is some of the perspective that I think some people are missing.
Yeah, and they also focus in on the schedule in little chunks. Having broadcast full seasons, know full well that you got like nine games in your mind. You got this nine-game homestand. And if you ask guys, where are you a week after that, they may not know.
Exactly. You do try to kind of break the season into your homestands and your road trips. And, you know, you try to kind of do well in those chunks. And really, in a baseball season, you just try to win every series. Because if you win every series, then you're going to be in great shape at the end of the year. And, you know, the Blue Jays are coming off of two series, which they lost, which is never a good thing. But, you know, coming into that, they had won two series in a row. So, you know, you're trying to take two out of three, three out of four, or maybe split a four-game set, because you know you're going to lose a lot of games in a baseball season. That's just the way the sport is structured.
Talking baseball, talking Blue Jays with Arden Zwelling from Sportsnet. Let's face it, John Gibbons is the guy whose fault it is when they lose and they win in spite of him is the way that he's looked at. And boy, there have been a couple of times over the last 2 weeks or so, even when the team was winning games, where he snapped a little bit at the media. I wonder his mindset, and he must shake his head like day in, day out with the way that he is thought of.
Yeah, you know, I don't think he worries too much about, you know, his public perception or you know, what fans think of him. I mean, he really is the ideal manager for this clubhouse, which is a veteran clubhouse, one with, you know, guys who have MVP awards, guys who've won home run titles, you know, guys like, you look at a guy like Troy Tulowitzki, who was on a Hall of Fame track for the first 10 years of his career and has fallen off a little bit since then. But, you know, he's got a lot of, you know, veteran professional players. And it's not, you know, this isn't the kind of group where a manager's going to walk into the clubhouse and yell and scream and, you know, just get rageful and turn himself red. It's not like that. You know, this is a place where you need a player's manager. You need a manager who knows how to manage veteran personalities and guys who've been around the game and have really made names for themselves in this game. So I think he's the ideal guy for that job.
It's amazing what this new layer of wildcard has done to the pennant races. First of all, it's brought in a whole bunch of other teams, and it's made for some urgency. I mean, there was a time, let's face it, if you made it as a wild card, you didn't care if you finished first or not. Man, it makes a big difference now. And so the games mean more. They really do.
Absolutely. It's paramount that you win your division. Because if you don't, and you end up in a wild card game, and, you know, say you're matched up against Detroit, well, now you got to face Justin Verlander in a one-off game. Or say you're matched up against Seattle. Well, now you got Felix Hernandez in a one-off game. And, you know, that's difficult. That's a tough, tall order. You know, these are aces, some of the best pitchers in the game. And it's kind of it's a ridiculous concept, really, when you think that you're going to decide who the more deserving playoff team is in one game, when we've seen, you know, how many times has, you know, one game been decided by a matter of centimeters, or, you know, by a blown call by an umpire, or, you know, a missed tag or what have you. So you don't want to be in that situation as a team. You absolutely want to win your division, which at least buys you, you know, into a series. And you want to avoid that wild card game at all costs.
I wonder if there's a little bit of a scare right now as far as the setup is concerned. I mean, we've seen twice in the last week, Jason Grilley, who'd been so good for this team, and he may be able to do the job the rest of the way, but, man, one more blow-up like that, and then you start wondering if that's who you give the ball to, and that's got to be concerning.
Yes, you know, I think that you had to expect a bit of regression for Jason Grilley. I mean, he'd been so good since he came over from Atlanta, and it, you know, it wasn't like he was, you know, pitching much differently than he was with the Braves. I mean, he was just seeing tremendous results time and time again. I mean, in the month of August, he almost went the entire month of August without giving up a run, and he probably pitched about, you know, 12, 13 times. So yeah, that's pretty remarkable. I think you had to expect that he wasn't going to be quite that good as a 39-year-old who was struggling earlier in the year, but you know, I don't think it's time to, you know, kick him out of the setup role or to panic about him or worry about him. I mean, he's still getting a lot of strikeouts. You know, he's still able to kind of work with the smoke and mirrors with his fastball and his slider and confusing hitters and keeping them off balance and getting them to chase pitches outside the zone. But, you know, if the struggles do continue, maybe you see, you know, a Joe Biagini step into that role, or even a Francisco Liriano take over as a setup guy for this team.
Hey, look, you win some, you lose some. It's 162 games, but some games stand out. The middle game of that Yankee series, as far as baseball drama is concerned, that's as good a game as you're going to play all year, even though the Blue Jays lost the game.
You know, I've probably watched, I want to say, 95% of Blue Jays games this year. Like, I haven't missed many, and that was the most entertaining one that I've seen. I mean, that game was incredible. It had everything. Just from an objective standpoint, it was just true pure baseball entertainment. Like, it was fun. You had lead changes. You had missed calls from umpires. You had, you know, Chase Headley. People forget about this. In the fifth inning, Chase Headley made a remarkable play at Josh Donaldson, diving to his right. Absolutely brilliant play at third base that kept two runs off the board, robbed Josh Donaldson of extra bases. I mean, that was a huge moment. And then you think about, you know, Justin Smoke, who, if he had hit that ball with the bases loaded in the ninth, just a few centimeters further, you know, that ball leaves the yard. And even Brett Gardner's catch, I mean, he had to scamper like 90 feet, jump at full extension, and the ball still almost snow-coned and came out of his glove. So that was truly a cool game to watch. And, you know, if you can get yourself for the fans, if they can get themselves out of fan mode and just kind of, appreciate what that was for a baseball spectacle, it was pretty special.
With Arden Swelling from Sportsnet, before we let you go, handicap the teams behind the Blue Jays, and what the heck are the Yankees doing there after they gave up?
You know, the Yankees are kind of back in this, I guess. They sold at the deadline, and they're now in better standing than they were at the deadline. I mean, they're two games out of a playoff spot, basically, in the wild card race there. So I don't think they'll be able to catch up in the division. I mean, there's too many teams there. They're on the outside looking in at 4.5 games back, but... You know, crazy things have happened. I mean, Baltimore, I don't think you have a ton of faith in just because their pitching just is not great. You know, Chris Tillman has been good, but past that, you had the Giovanni Gallardo, Ubaldo Jimenez. I mean, it's just not a good situation. You know, Boston and Toronto are the two teams you look at as having the most realistic shots at winning this division. You know, both really great offenses. Toronto probably has the edge in starting pitching, although not recently. Recently, the Red Sox pitching has been much better, but over the course of the season, Trials has been better, and the bullpens are kind of a toss-up. So I think the six games that Toronto and Boston have between, you know, against each other over the rest of the year are going to go a long way to deciding who wins this division.
Arden Zwelling, Sportsnet, and, of course, the At the Letters podcast, which you can catch on sportsnet.ca. Thank you so much for joining us, taking the time, and we'll meet again down the line.
Anytime, Elliot. Thanks.
Straighten the Blue Jays out. Everything's going to be all right. What a series. Tell you what, we'll check out the pitching matchups for the Red Sox and the Blue Jays and a whole bunch of other stuff before we head on home. Been a fun night. Going to be a great weekend. And we'll lead you in with that coming up tomorrow. Grant and I, if you haven't heard, going to bring you Concordia football games, home games this season. You can catch us on stingers.ca. We'll be webcasting Concordia Stingers football games. They won their opener against McGill, and then they have to play at home against Laval. Always a tough chore, baby. Staying in the game. Got to stay in the game. Wonder how Laval did in their first game. I bet you they won. Although Montreal's given them a tough time over the last couple of years. Well, it depends. Depends who they drew in game one, you know. They have been a power, but Danny Machocha has caught them over the past few years.
Just going to say, if I was a betting man,
yeah,
I would say they're coming in 1-0.
Yeah?
I would say that's a pretty safe assumption.
We'll check that. We'll do that before we head on home. Again, great night tomorrow night, and we'll set you up for a great weekend.
Montreal, and we've got all the greatest hits right here on 1280 AM Montreal.
Yeah! It kind of started with Steve Anthony, who said no to a job in Newcastle and me. Expos knee deep in a pennant race, he got into his car, drove all the way to that place. Everybody needs some Elliott Price.
All right, no weekends off. Grant and I will be doing a football game coming up on Saturday. What did I tell you? What did I just tell you?
About Laval?
Yeah.
They lost?
Who did they lose to?
They would lost to Montreal.
That's right.
When was the last time Laval started a season 0-2 is my question.
That's a very good question. But you got to be 0-1 before you can get to 0-2.
Fair.
The Carabao started the season off with a 24-21 victory over Laval.
Wow.
And you see? Jump to conclusions like that.
I mean, it's a pretty safe assumption. It's like saying, you know, I think the Habs won a Stanley Cup before if you're guessing a team, it's probably the Habs. You know?
Sherbrooke beat Bishops 38-7. Concordia took care of McGill 30-16. And Laval, they lost to Montreal, Université de Montréal, 24-21. It was a close game. Man, they must hate them, eh? They must absolutely hate each other, those two teams. Unbelievable. Anyways, we've got Laval and Concordia coming up on Saturday afternoon. It's a 3 o'clock start, and we'll be webcasting stingers.ca. That's where you can find us, so we'll be having a good time there. Looking to the weekend and the pitching matchups between the Boston Red Sox and the Toronto Blue Jays. So here we are, right? One game separates the Red Sox and the Jays. Two games between the Jays, the Red Sox and the Orioles, and 4.5 games, the Yankees and the Red Sox. Where did they come from? I believe they're 16-9 in their last 25 games. So they are now at 73-65. That's 8 games over the Yankees are. That's the best they've been all season.
Do you remember at one point at the trade deadline we were talking
dead
about
in the water.
It? Were they gonna? No, but I kept saying. Remember they started winning games. And I said, do they really get rid of these guys or do they keep them? Even without them, look how good they've been, right? And that bullpen has blown a few games since they got rid of those arms. So I know it helped the Yankees out for the future, but if it took away a shot at the playoffs, it's not always good.
All right, let's see what we have. Today, very quiet. By the way, the Rays are playing the Yankees tonight, and they're in a 4-4 tie. That ball game now in the bottom of the eighth inning, so that would be good news. But they're the Chasers. They can't afford to lose any games, right? Let's see. Coming up next, that three-game weekend series and pitching matchup number one. By the way, the Orioles play at Detroit, so there's a couple of teams that are trying to make noise. Gossman and Fulmer. Fulmer's been good for the Tigers, 10-6, an ERA under 3. The Red Sox and the Blue Jays, game one. And that will be Rick Porcello. You got to be kidding me.
And Estrada, right?
Yeah. Estrada's 8-7, right? Rick Porcello is 19-3.
Yeah, but his ERA is not great.
Doesn't matter. You go, he's 3.23. What do you think the league average is?
No, but I'm saying it's not like he's a Cy Young necessarily candidate.
In this day and age, 20 years ago, he would be the leading candidate. Because wins and losses were everything, and they're not anymore. Anyways, 19-3. Rick Porcello. Wonder if the Tigers like to have him back. So that's game one of that series. On Saturday, it is a 1-0-5 start. Red Sox and the Blue Jays. And now the Jays have the 17-4 guy, J.A. Happ. And his ERA is not as good as Porcello's. And Rodriguez goes for the Red Sox 2-6, but I tell you what, I saw him pitch last week.
Very close. I was watching that, actually.
Oh, man.
It was after the Jays game. They put it on, and he got, I think he got to the seventh. No, the first batter of the eighth.
Right.
Kind of ended it.
We were having dinner at Ye Olde Orchard and watching it on the beautiful screen there.
I don't know if he would have finished, though. He was already at 100 pitches in the seventh, right? It's kind of, I mean, I guess if you're going to go for it, right? But, yeah, you saw him give up that hit, and then it was just, oh, well, there goes your... And it was on an overturned call, right?
Yeah.
The guy, he was ruled out at first.
Right. And the Sunday matchup, 107 in Toronto. So it should be a crazy weekend. All those Red Sox fans are going to try and come in and buy tickets. Should be a lot of fun. Clay Buchholz and Aaron Sanchez. So
I will tell you this, Elliot. Yeah. You know, every night we're here, you've even said a few times, wow, Grant, you're really into the Blue Jays, right? I will not pay attention for a single second to the Sunday game.
Yeah, you will.
I will,
you
not, will not on TV.
Single
I'll look at the score.
Second.
I'll look at the score.
It's right there, and
no,
all you have to do is
No, I got the NFL Sunday ticket.
You're
I'm
just
flicking
flick for a second.
From game to game, okay, football-wise.
I'll be honest with you. I will check the scores. I will check some of the game. And sometimes I might even get lost for a minute or two. I will.
If I look at an update and I see Jays, bases loaded, two outs, yes, I'll go. But even no outs, I'll just watch the
Raiders
update.
Are playing at 1 o'clock. That's, you know, but no, it's football. There's a whole lot of time to be watching a baseball game during a football game.
It's true. You got halftime if you're watching your team.
Raiders, 1 o'clock game at New Orleans. Should be a lot of fun. All right. Our thanks to our guests tonight. Arden Zwelling from Sportsnet, talking Blue Jays with us. Andrew Berkshire. We talked hockey. And we talked football with Daniel Kalis. What more do you want? We're going to set up the weekend coming up tomorrow. We're going to set up all of the National Football League games, best games of the week. You going to give us the picks? Do you do that?
I do
picks. You do picks?
We can do that. We should do that every week. That should be a segment of ours.
What about college football? I know you're a big college football
guy. I love college football. Well, when you asked me, Grant, what are you doing Saturdays?
Yeah.
Did you see how I thought before you told me what you were doing? Now, that's cool. We'll do that.
But nobody else knows that.
If not.
Only I know that.
If not, Saturday... That's what I'm doing. Right. College football is huge.
Thanks to David Mione for pushing all the buttons behind the counter there, and for Freddie Iuni for taking care of whatever it is an executive producer takes care of. On behalf of Grant Robinson, I'm Elliot Price. You can find our show online. Miss anything? Sportsnet.ca. And we now have our very own Twitter account. Jeez, it only took us 7 months. What a bunch of goofballs. You can find us on Twitter, our show at SNTWEP. Sportsnet tonight, little W, big EP.
That's underfunny.
Big SNT, little W, big EP.
Do the capitals matter when you search?
I have no idea.
I'm not sure. We'll let you know tomorrow.
All right. We'll let you know a whole bunch of stuff tomorrow. See ya.